Who is Jesus? This past week in Alpha, we spent the time asking the question, who is Jesus? And today, I want to give us a summary of what we discovered together. This coming week, we shall explore the subject of why did Jesus die? So please join us in our pursuit for truth. Kindly allow me to share with us this morning who Jesus is through a historical lens. I want us to consider the question, what have others thought and said of Jesus through the years? I will then conclude with a personal testimony of who Jesus is while prompting you to consider the question, who is Jesus to me? So let's begin with a word of prayer. My Lord and my God, I ask for your guidance and presence in my feeble attempt to describe you. What a difficult task, Lord, but a joyful one as well. To speak of your greatness and of your majesty in a very personal way. What a privilege. So, Lord, come and empower us, fill me with your spirit, and use me as your servant and instrument. Lord, we submit our intellect, our knowledge, and our everything to you. Amen. A crowded Virgin Atlantic Airlines flight was canceled after the 767s had been withdrawn from service. A single attendant was rebooking a long line of inconvenienced travelers, as it usually goes. And suddenly, an angry passenger pushed his way to the customer desk, saying, "Excuse me." He then slapped his ticket down on the counter and said, "I have to be on this flight, and it has to be first class." Well, the attendant with a smile kindly replied, "Sir, I am sorry. I'll be happy to help you, but I've got to help these folks first, and I'm sure we'll be able to work something out." The rude passenger was unimpressed by this response. He asked loudly so that his voice was heard over by the other waiting passengers. "Do you have an idea who I am?" he repeated. "Do you have an idea who I am?" Without hesitation, the attendant smiled and grabbed the public address microphone and announced, "Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? We have a passenger here at gate number 7 who does not know who he is. If any of you can help him find his identity, please come to gate number 7. Well, who is Jesus? In 1992, the U.S. Air Weekend magazine published a story about the faces of Jesus and how people have imagined him through the ages. The story showed that each generation had a slightly and sometimes radically different perception of who Jesus is. In the Middle Ages, Jesus was portrayed as a heavenly king who ruled with authority but added compassion to his attributes. It was a noticeable contrast to the earthly tyrants of the time. And in the 18 and early 1900s, we were given the popular vision of Christ as the Good Shepherd, welcoming little children. And then came the 1960s vision of the long-haired Jesus who seemed to challenge the status quo. The 1990s gave us a Christ with an image that seemed to be more complex and revealed by 5 different faces. There was Jesus the moral savior, Jesus the social reformer, Jesus the new age guru, and then Jesus the black Jesus. As the black Jesus. This was a Jesus who was seen in the eyes of the black people as a redeemer of those who had been oppressed. Even the Catholic Church joined in with a portrait of an Armenian-looking man with dreadlocks. And as we know, with all things that relate to Christ, we know that there are no accidents. It's therefore no accident that there has not been one contemporary portrait or any likeness of Jesus that exists today. And in my opinion, I think it is an impossible challenge to attempt capturing the essence of Jesus that exists as he exists. It is an impossible task to attempt to capture the essence of God's only begotten Son on canvas. Yet I believe that without such a picture, we are still able to capture our imagination of Jesus. I also believe that we are free to rely on the apostles' account in the New Testament to help us define how we see Jesus. So our question this morning is, who is Jesus? In a 1983 Gallup poll, Americans were asked, who do you think Jesus is? I am sure these numbers have changed since then, but in 1983, 70% of those interviewed said that Jesus was not just another man. 42% stated that Jesus was God among men. 27% felt that Jesus was only human but divinely called. 9% stated that Jesus was divine because he embodied the best of humanity. And 81% of Americans considered themselves to be Christians. That was in 1983, about 40 years ago. Here's our text this morning. Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 30. It reads, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Messiah. Notice what Jesus is concerned about in this particular text. Yes, he's concerned to find out who people say that he is, but he is really concerned with what the disciples think of him. He wants to get deep and personal with this bunch of followers. He wants to know what are their thoughts of him. Who did they think he was? So, as we consider our passage this morning, I want us to ask ourselves this one question. Who is Jesus and what is so unique about Jesus? In my study this week, I encountered one author who wrote, and I quote, everything in Christ astonishes me. His spirit overawes me, and his will confounds me. Between him and whoever else in the world, there is no possible comparison. He is truly a being by himself. End of quote. The Time magazine wrote about this when they were writing about Jesus. They said that Jesus is the most influential person who ever lived. There is something inexplicable about Jesus which can only be attributed to his divine connection with his Father. When you are confronted by Jesus, what is your reaction? Who do you say that Jesus is? In 1971, Sidney Poitier was featured in a movie where he played the role of a black Jesus, one with us. In 2004, Mel Gibson produced and directed the movie, The Passion of the Christ, based on the gospel accounts. A tough movie to watch. Many have written scripts and More scripts have been written and many movies acted to capture the human nature and the human mystery of Jesus. Today, Jesus is still the conversation of many in the academy. Apostle Paul, when confronted by the Lord on the road to Damascus, asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" This Jesus, 2,000 years after he was born, still fascinates many. The fact of the matter is, we may not like what he said, but we cannot deny his existence. We cannot deny he existed. Today we number our years after his birth. Some say he was a madman, but I don't think we would be talking about a madman for over 2,000 years. Some say he was a revolutionary, but was he? You know, while we do not have an actual picture of Jesus, I think God did not want us to worship an image. Can you imagine if we held an actual image of Jesus? All we have today are paintings of artists who depict Jesus in their own unique ways, but nobody really knows what he looked like. They are just but paintings. In Mark's account, we see evidence of the unique relationship Jesus had with his Father. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus' question is not new, for it has been asked for a long time. It was asked in the first century and every other century after that. And here we are today. We are still asking the question. Here's the amazing fact. The question is still relevant to us in the 21st century. So as Jesus walked around the temple during the festival season, the Jewish leaders were fond of asking him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? Are you the Messiah?" Well, in John chapter 10, verses 19 through 20, some of the Jews thought Jesus was demon-possessed and a madman. In an article featured in Christianity Today in April of 2010, Gerard McDermott tells about his hike in the city of Galilee in Israel. Along the way, he visited with Jewish people, Arab Christians and Muslims alike. And he asked them what they thought about this man of Galilee. Many Arabs believed that Jesus walked on the water and that he raised Lazarus from the dead. A young college graduate, aged 23 years, believed in the virgin birth but denied Jesus as God. You go figure that one out. A Jewish religious teacher in the city of Jerusalem stated that Jesus was a Jew, but his delusions proved to be a demon of some kind. Philip Yancey wrote a book entitled "The Jesus I Never Knew." In the book, Yancey wanted to write about Jesus, but in the process, he discovered that he had never known him. Philip Yancey is not so different from many of us who are still searching for the truth about Jesus. Many of us have different ideas about Jesus from Sunday school and from Sunday preachers like me, but many of us have never really taken the time to look at who Jesus is through the lens of the Gospels. Who is Jesus? Do you really know him? C.S. Lewis, who was once a professor at Cambridge University and the author of Chronicles of Narnia, writes, and I quote, "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something else." Lewis adds that you can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Listen to what Jesus says about himself. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus points to himself as the bread of life. No other prophet or religious leader has ever pointed to themselves as being God. They always point to others, but not this Jesus. He says of himself, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This Jesus says of himself, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. This Jesus says of himself, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, and you are the branches. If any man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. C.S. Lewis again says, either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. Today, there are numerous views of who people think and feel that Jesus is. So without attacking any of these religious positions, kindly allow me to share with you what some believe. For instance, the Mormons teach that Jesus Christ was not the divine Son of God. They reject Christ and his atonement on the cross. They said that his blood was not an effective sacrifice. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus Christ was not God, but God's first created creature. Jesus was not divine. Christian scientists believe or claim that Jesus was not God, but an outstanding man, and a great moral teacher. In Judaism, many Jews accept that Jesus was a good teacher of ethics, but do not accept him as the Messiah. He was not the Savior because Jesus did not bring everlasting peace. Buddhism teaches that Jesus was a good teacher who was less than Buddha. They deny that he was divine and that salvation is by self-effort. Hinduism teaches that Jesus is just one of the many incarnations or sons of God. He was no more divine than any other man, and he did not die for man's sin. Man is justified through devotion, meditation, good works, and self-control. And finally, Islam teaches that Jesus Christ is only a man, a prophet equal to Adam, Noah, Abraham, and Moses, all of whom are below Muhammad in importance. Christ did not die for man's sins. In fact, it was Judas, now Jesus, who died on the cross. The only way to attain salvation in Islam is by earning it yourself through good works, and the rest depends on God. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. Here is an interesting fact. Buddha never claimed to be God. Moses never claimed to be Jehovah. Muhammad never claimed to be Allah. Yet Jesus Christ claimed to be the true and the living God. Buddha simply said, I am a teacher in search of truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Confucius said, I never claimed to be holy. Jesus said, who convicts me of sin? Muhammad said, unless God throws his cloak of mercy over me, I have no hope. Jesus said, unless you believe in me, you will die in your sins. But what about you this morning? Who do you say that Jesus is? In a
video based on his book, 316 Stories of Hope, Max Lucado illustrates the old nature of the statement that all religions lead to God. He writes, all roads lead to heaven. Well, the sentence makes good talk, sure chatter. But this, does it make sense? Can all approaches to God be correct? How can all religions lead to God when they are so different? We don't tolerate such logic in other matters. We don't pretend that all roads lead to Chicago or to London, and all ships sail to Australia, and all flights go to Rome, because they don't. The great Irish historian by the name of W.H. Leakey, in his book, A History of European Morals from Augustus to Charlemagne, says this. I quote, "The character of Jesus has not only been the highest pattern of virtue, but the strongest incentive in its practice, and has exerted so deep an influence that it may be truly said that the simple record of 3 short years of active life has done more to regenerate and to soften mankind than all the writings of philosophers and all the exhortations of moralists." The famed scholar by the name of F.F. Bruce, responding to Leakey's statement, says that Jesus is not only a historical figure, but also our eternal contemporary. Isn't that amazing? The New Testament scholar from Edinburgh by the name of James Stewart writes, listen to this amazing quote. "Jesus was the meekest and the lowliest of all sons of men, yet he spoke of coming on the clouds of heaven with the glory of God. He was so exacting that the evil spirits and demons cried out in terror at his coming. Yet he was so gentle and awesome and approachable that the little ones loved to play with him and nestle in his arms. His presence at the village wedding was like the presence of sunshine. No one was half so kind or compassionate to sinners, yet no one spoke such red, heart-scorching words about sin. He was the servant of all. He washed the disciples' feet, yet masterfully he walked into the temple, and the money changers fell over one another in their mad rush to get away from the fire they saw blazing in his eyes. In the end, he saved others, but at last, himself he did not save. There is nothing in history like the union of contrast that confronts us in the Gospels. The mystery of Jesus is the mystery of divine personality." Beautifully stated. John Stott said that he died for us to bring us to God and for our sins, and he died our death. Who is Jesus to you? All of the other belief systems and religions perceive Jesus as a created being. They make Jesus to be a man, a great teacher, and a great moral man. But his claims, as found in the scriptures, prove otherwise. Again, John Stott continues to write, and he says that Jesus made it clear by word and deed that to know him was to know God. To see him was to see God. To believe in him was to believe in God. To receive him was to receive God. To reject him was to reject God. And to honor him was to honor God. Wow. Jesus was a real figure in history. He existed in time and in space. Even our own historians were fascinated with Jesus, and they write about his existence. Tacitus, considered to be one of the most accurate historians of ancient world, writes in the first century about the superstitious Christians, named after Christus, Latin for Christ. Tacitus writes about Jesus having suffered under the Pontius Pilate during the reign of Tiberius. Josephus, in his Antiquities, refers to James, the brother of Jesus, who was called Christ. Let me give you a quote here from Josephus. "Now, there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, he was the Christ. He appeared to them alive again the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold, this and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him. End of quote. This is Josephus writing about Jesus in the first century, a well-respected historian. I listened to an atheist trying to make a case for himself in at the University of California, Berkeley. And he said that there were other people named Jesus during this time. And our response to him should be, yes, there were other people who were named Jesus. But there was only one Jesus who rose from the dead. And Josephus records of this resurrection. The church fathers write about Jesus as well. Pliny the Young, who lived in the first century, recorded early Christians worshiping Jesus and their worship practices. He indicates that Christians worshiped Jesus as God. They were very ethical and included a reference of the Lord's Supper. There is overwhelming evidence for Jesus' existence in science, especially the one called textual criticism. For we can rely on the manuscripts that have been passed over down through the years and have been left behind. They tell of a Jesus who resurrected from the dead. But I think perhaps the greatest evidence that Jesus did exist, in fact, is literally the thousands of Christians in the first century, including the apostles, that gave their lives as martyrs for Jesus. But more than that, the spiritual transformation that they experience is undeniable. Even more, I dare you to show me a worldview other than the Judeo-Christian worldview that believes and makes this statement, quote, "We hold these things to be self-evident, that all people were created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness." Only Christianity can make such a claim. Nietzsche, the atheist, writes that equality is a lie concocted by the weaker people. But we know that equality is a precious truth, even in the eyes of God. The early church fathers have something to tell us about Jesus. In AD 105, Ignatius believed that God himself was manifested in human form. In AD 150, Clement writes that it is fitting that we should think of Jesus Christ as God. AD 200, Tertullian writes, or he referred to Christ as our God. AD 225, Origen of Alexandria in Egypt writes, "No one should be offended that the Savior is also God." Today, Christianity is certainly diverse in the way it's practiced in the different parts of the world. But at the core of Christianity is the belief that Jesus is fully divine and fully human. Amen. Who do you say that Jesus is? This is the question that Jesus asked his disciples. But what about you? Who do you say that I am? All that Peter knew was that Jesus changed my life. Peter's response was not derived from a theological study, but a personal encounter with this man named Jesus of Nazareth. And probably that's why I struggled so much this week putting this message together. How can we really speak of the divine creator of the universe? Peter's response was from a personal encounter. What is your response of this Jesus that you proclaim, that you talk about? Karl Barth, who is often referred to as the greatest theologian of the 20th century, writes, I quote, "At first, I was a very liberal pastor. I read the Bible as a book of morals and political philosophy. Then I began to read it and deal with it. I discovered the voice of God speaking through the pages of the Bible, a God who encountered me through Jesus Christ, like God encountered Moses and Saul. His words transformed me." Jesus is the light of the world, the light of men that never ceases to shine. Socrates, the Greek philosopher, made the following statement: "Oh, that someone would arise. Men are God to show us to God." Plato, who was a student of Socrates, said, "Unless a God-man comes to us and reveals us to the supreme being, there is no help and no hope." Jesus was real, and he walked on this earth. Who do you say that he is? History shows that, yes, he has made impact and he existed. Do not be deceived. Do not be cornered. "Oh, Jesus is not real." That is not true, because evidence, historical criticism, and textual criticism shows that he actually exists. I came across a good article, "Who is Jesus to you?" And I think it makes a good summary of who Jesus is. What is Jesus to you? To the artist, he is the one altogether lovely. To the architect, he is the chief cornerstone. To the baker, he is the living bread. To the banker, he is the hidden treasure. To the biologist, he is the life. To the builder, he is a sure foundation. To the doctor, he is a great physician. To the educator, he is a great teacher. To the farmer, he is the lord of the harvest. To the geologist, he is the rock of ages. To the jurist, he is the righteous judge, the judge of all men. To the lawyer, he is the counselor, the lawgiver, the advocate. To the philosopher, he is the wisdom of God. To the preacher, he is the word of God. To the theologian, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. To the sinner, he is the Lamb of God who takes our sin away. To the Christian, he is the Son of the living God, Savior and Redeemer. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to me? He is the source of all wisdom and knowledge. He is my Savior, my Redeemer, my hope, my guide, my King, my Lord, my Judge, my everything, my I am, and the lover of my soul. I close with this one simple question this morning. Who is Jesus to you? What about you? Who do you say Jesus is? Let us stand up and we can pray. Lord, what an awesome testimony from the ages. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the lover of our souls. We worship you and honor you. Receive glory. Show yourself. Convict us of what you need to do, Father. Transform us to your image. And now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and from falling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Come for prayers.